Well, welcome to the Pastor's Thoughts and Prayer, as we always close this segment with the Lord's Prayer and a prayer of intercession for all the people that we know about, and we thank you for that. But this little segment now, it goes back into what I used to do with my little 5-minute devotion on the radio, and the name of the program was The Word is the Way to Life. Now, I got that word from the Lord as I was reading scripture, and it said in John 1:1, God became flesh and dwelt among us, and his name was Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us. And I was thinking, well, he brought all the things necessary that we need to have a good life. So, the Word is the way to life. Jesus is the Word, and he gives us the way to life. But you know, he's also given us a lot of people in the scriptures. And Solomon was one of those people. I like Solomon. Before COVID, we started doing a study on Proverbs. And I think we were all the way up to chapter 18 or something like that when COVID hit. And we didn't do it anymore. But Solomon has given us wisdom literature. Ecclesiastes, Proverbs, and the Song of Songs. And I'm sure he wrote a lot of other things besides. So, today, this week, we are all the way up to chapter 7, verses 9 through 18, during this segment, as we look about the teachings of Solomon. Hear God's Word, New Living Translation, starting at verse 9 in chapter 7. Don't be quick-tempered, for anger is the friend of fools. Don't long for the good old days, for you don't know whether they were any better than today. Being wise is as good as being rich. In fact, it is better. Wisdom or money can get you almost anything. But it's important to know that only wisdom can save your life. Notice the way God does things, then fall into line. Don't fight the ways of God, for who can straighten out what he has made crooked? Enjoy prosperity while you can, but when hard times strike, realize that both come from God. That's the way you realize that nothing is certain in this life. And the next portion is the subtitle, The Limits of Human Wisdom, up to verse 18. In this meaningless life, I have seen everything, including the fact that some good people die young and some wicked people live on and on. Don't be too good to be wise. Why destroy yourself? On the other hand, don't be too wicked either. Don't be a fool. Why should you die before your time? So, try to walk a middle course. But those who fear God will succeed either way. May God add his blessings to the reading, the hearing, and the understanding of his holy and precious word. I like nostalgia, you know, things of the old days. I like old music and different things and looking back. I love history. But someone said that nostalgia ain't what it used to be. Well, the teacher might have agreed, teacher being Solomon, as we read those scriptures. Another well-known saying is this, don't get mad, get even. Well, at least the first half is good advice. Don't get mad. But the passage that I read today, Solomon continues to expound on his distinctive brand of wisdom. We should avoid unthinking bursts of anger. It's pointless to live to be thinking about the past all the time, and being such realistic things as practical wisdom can be as good as money in the bank or anything that's even better, but wisdom has its advantages. But it also has its limits. When Solomon now explores as part of the realistic approach, and we looked at some of the other realistic things he talked about in chapter 2, he turns to consider the most puzzling topics, God's action in the world, specifically God's dealing with humanity. Now, he makes his point in three statements of increasing clarity and forcefulness. God had made some things in the world crooked, he says. Well, God makes bad times as well as good times, so that we cannot know what the future holds. It's baffling, that's for sure. the righteous and the wicked sometimes experience the opposite of what they seem to deserve. That makes us a little jealous sometimes. Well, I digress. Even the wise find it hard to make sense of these things. And Solomon will develop three ideas in chapter 8, and then we look in chapter 9 later. But here is the main aim: to establish that wisdom that has limits. He says, neither wisdom nor righteous living have guaranteed outcomes in this life. It is God who is sovereign over all that happens, whether good or bad. And I think this is a hard lesson, but it's a worthwhile lesson for us to learn. Further, even the quest for righteous relationships with others and wisdom may lead us astray. Don't be over righteous, neither be over wise. Chapter 7, verse 16. You see, at first sight, there seems to be an astonishing thing to say. Can we be too righteous or wise? But on reflection, yeah, maybe. If our motives are wrong, some, for example, seek to be wise and do right by others in order to boast about their achievements or in order to gain power over others. It's not unknown for believers to set themselves high moral standards precisely in order to claim that you don't need to believe in God in order to live a moral life, a good life. Well, I don't know. The teacher's talking about something different, so we must not seek wisdom and righteousness with the wrong motive. No. Obviously, we should go in opposite direction of the wicked and indulge in foolish behavior. Now, we need to think about that. And that's what God does when he invites his judgment. We should avoid both of these wrong paths and live our lives in the fear of God. I think that fear is better translated love of God, or in reverence and awe in God, but reverently acknowledge how limited we are in power and knowledge. We think we know it all, but we don't. And the goodness to compare to our Creator. Solomon, in this part that we're looking at, he brings up a very crucial issue. Do we fear God? If God ceases to be our reference point, then even our attempts to live wisely and righteousness, they just might destroy us. You know, Paul, the Apostle Paul, he had a lot of good things to say, too. I think one of the hard parts as a preacher, when we got 66 books in the Bible and there's so much there. What do we want to teach on and everything? I decided some time ago to really focus on Jesus, because he is the way to life. But the Apostle Paul has given us an awful lot of wisdom, too, as he started practicing and planting churches all around. And in Romans chapter 10, Paul explores the pitfall of attempting to establish one's own righteousness before God. And over in 1 Corinthians, Paul also contrasts the foolishness of the gospel with the wisdom of the world. I like that. So how do these texts help us to understand Solomon's warning about being over-righteous? Yeah, over-wise. Well, we looked at that in chapter 7, didn't we? Well, what does it mean that one fears God? And how do you and I aim to cultivate this attitude in ourselves? Well, it's so wonderful to be able to think about these things and to be able to help one another. You know, we need one another. Solomon talked about that in other chapters, two are better than one, and yada, yada, yada. But we do. We need each other. And with that, that's why we lift up prayer. And we list people on our prayer line. You can click in the website there with the slides, and you can bring up all the people that we have on the list. But you've heard me say it before. It is good to pray a prayer of intercession for and with people. But the most wonderful thing about prayer is that you can talk to God directly yourself because of what Jesus did on the cross. And the analogy there is when he gave up the ghost, the veil in the temple was rent in two. Now, what does that mean? Well, the temple, only the people of God that were priests could go into the Holy of Holies. When Jesus died, you no longer need a priest to go in. You don't need anybody. Jesus gives us direct access to God. So this thing we call prayer is nothing more than just talking to God, just like I'm sitting here with this microphone here now talking to you. You develop that relationship. God wants you to talk to Him, and He wants to talk to you. And we have His written word, and we have the Holy Spirit. So learn to pray and talk to God for yourself and encourage others. You know, intercessory prayer is really good. But you don't need anybody to pray for you. Just pray for yourself, and you will find such blessings that you can't imagine. So with that, we close this little segment with the prayer that Jesus taught when the disciples asked, "Can we talk to the Father?" He said, use this for a model prayer for all of your prayers to line up with. "Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive them that trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen." Well, Phil's going to be gone for a couple weeks, but we'll still continue to try to get the messages out to everybody that's on our email list. So hope and pray you're enjoying this little segment of the pastor's thoughts and the teaching from the book of Ecclesiastes.